Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mitch, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Yes, of course. So tell us, before this Easter Rebellion in 1916, how long had the Irish been under British rule?
Oh, about 700-odd years.
And so tell us about what actually happened. It was around Easter, the Easter Rebellion on that day.
That's right. It was Easter of 1916, which was, in fact, April the 24th. But Easter Monday of this year, of course, is on March the 28th. So it's not the calendar anniversary, but it's the Easter anniversary coming up shortly. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Irish rebels, Irish volunteers, and the Irish Citizen Army decided to take over the city of Dublin.
And so, how did they do that? Tell us about what actually happened on the day.
Well, it was a bit of a confusion, actually, because it was supposed to take place the day before, but due to a number of circumstances, it was postponed. And so, around about 1,000 to 1,200 members of the Irish Volunteers and Citizen Army turned out and seized a number of buildings in Dublin, including, most famously, the GPO in O'Connell Street, but a number of other buildings around the city. And raised the tricolour, which is now the national flag of Ireland, over the GPO, and Patrick Pearse, the leader, came out of the GPO and read a proclamation of the Republic of Ireland.
And it was quite bloodily put down in reaction from the British government. But what I found interesting about it was the uprising initially didn't have much support from the Irish public. Why not?
Well, you must remember this is during the First World War, and there are large numbers of Irish men fighting in the First World War. About 200,000 Irishmen volunteered to fight in the British Army during the First World War. And many of the families back home were concerned about their loved ones at the front. Also, they were receiving payments of the money that was being paid to the soldiers. A lot of it was coming back to the wives and mothers. There was this concern that what was happening was going to sort of stab these soldiers in the back, because it was the case, and it was put about that the Germans were assisting with this uprising. But not to the extent that the Irish had initially hoped. Roger Casement had gone to Germany to try to negotiate an arms shipment, and arms were sent, but those arms were captured by the Royal Navy, and Roger Casement himself was captured. But in the end, the German assistance amounted to nothing, but it was sort of seen as a bit of a stab in the back for the soldiers at the front.
And the tide started to turn once, I guess, the British kind of reacted and started to round up the members of this coup. Why did the tide start to turn? How was the British reaction to this move?
Right. Well, what happened is that initially when the rising began on Easter Monday, it being a public holiday, most of the garrison in Dublin was on holidays, and there were races going on just outside of Dublin, so a lot of the garrison was out there. So when the rising first occurred, there were very few police and soldiers about to do anything about it. But as word spread and a soldier started to come back to get together and start to put down this rising, it took about 2 days before troops could arrive from England to add to it. But once they did, it was, you know, quite apparent that the rising was not going to be able to survive. By the end of the week, you've had about 1,600 rebels and about 16,000 British troops. So come Saturday, the rebels had decided to surrender, and then they were rounded up and interned. But then what the government did was to appoint General John Maxwell from Egypt. He'd been out there in Egypt, and he came back to Ireland, and he then started to execute the leaders. They were given very short trials behind closed doors, and over a period of about 10 days, 14 of these leaders were executed. And as word spread about that, people who initially were concerned that the rising was not the right thing, and there had been a lot of criticism of the rebels, people's attitudes started to turn because they thought it was unfair and harsh to be executing these Irish patriots who may have been misguided, as it was often said, but they were still Irish patriots, and to execute them was a bad mistake politically on the part of John Maxwell.
And obviously it kicked off a political process which was used to gain Irish independence. But what's the legacy of this day in Irish history now?
Well, it's seen, the Easter Rising, Easter Monday, is seen as the start of the modern push for independence for Ireland. I mean, over centuries, the Irish had rebelled many times, and each time had been put down. The famous 1798 Rising of the United Irishmen, you know, the large numbers were killed in that rising, and through the 19th century, there were a number of risings that were put down. And so this was the rising that actually worked, because within 6.5 years, there's 26 counties that are now the Republic of Ireland out of 32. You've got 26 in the south and 6 in the north. So 26 counties were given what we call dominion status, exactly as Canada and Australia had at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, that was seen by many to be a good solution to the problem, but unfortunately, for some of the Irish, they thought that they really wanted independence. They didn't want to have any attachment to the British Crown, and so a civil war broke out then in Ireland, where those who had together fought in the War of Independence from 1919 to 1921 started to fight amongst themselves, and that went on from 1922 through 23 and 24, and eventually that ended. But that was a sad end to what was otherwise an important victory for the Irish people.